Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of We Watch Shudder, doing this in fast motion because I have so much to say. My name is Michelle, and who's here with me?
It's JD.
It's JD in a question.
Yeah.
You got the question mark at the end.
Oh,
okay.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to add a question mark. I may have just had a weird inflection. You got shit to say, Michelle. Just go ahead and say it.
Do.
I got medicine to smoke.
Okay, sounds good. So, hello, everybody. We were not going to do an episode about Late Night with the Devil until it dropped on Shudder on April 19th, I believe. We were just going to do like a cutesy little Facebook Live thing afterwards. Like, hey, guys, just got done with it. It was pretty good because we assumed that we would both like it. Well, ladies, gentlemen, everyone in between, none of the above. I have news for you. We are not in agreement about this movie, and that means an episode needs to come out tonight.
We were just talking on our most recent episode about how it's been a long time since we had a genuine disagreement, and here we are.
We disagree a lot about this one. So JD and I went with a group of friends, including Jenna, who never watches the movie. Jenna, so now she has definitely
seen
the movie.
She has seen the movie, yes.
Yeah, she has definitely seen it. So we went to check this out in theaters, and I wanted to do a spoiler light episode, but I think we've got to do spoiler free review and we've got to get into it because I told JD to stop telling me things when we were leaving the theater. I want
to
record it.
We'll figure out what we're going to do when it drops on Shudder. We've got several weeks to figure that out.
I'll have to say.
This one was literally starting to boil over as soon as the credits rolled. So here we are to talk about Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil. Which of us should go first to figure out which of us to enjoy?
Well, I think what we should do is we should start with the plot summary from IMDb, since that's how we typically start these things.
I'm the one who knows the structure, and I am just so blown away today.
Just quickly, because I always want to try and make sure I do it, if this is the very first time you're tuning in, because you also recently saw Late Night with the Devil, first of all, thank you very much for checking out our show. We got a whole shit pile of episodes. We've been at it for 2 years. Go check out some more of those if you don't mind. But we're here to talk about this goddamn movie. Michelle, take it away.
Okay. So, IMDb description. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. Late Night with the Devil, rated R, 1 hour, 33 minutes.
Yeah, that's a solid description that gives you enough without giving you too much.
Yep.
Michelle?
Yeah.
Who's going spoiler-free thoughts first here?
You know what? I'll do it. I'll take the lead. I'll do it.
I think this works better if I go first, to be totally honest.
Totally fine with that.
Look, guys, it's clear that one of us really liked this movie and one of us didn't, and it's also very clear that the one of us who didn't is dramatically in the minority across the board. It's got like a 90-something critics score. In fact, let me pull up the numbers here. It's a 97% on the tomato meter after 131 critics reviews. It's got an 84% audience score with 250-plus verified ratings. People have been loving this movie. I did not. I was with it right up until a very specific point. There were some things that I was letting slide that normally I might nitpick a little more because other parts of it I was really enjoying, and so I was just letting it slide. And then some things happened that just, as I'm fond of saying, just did not work for me at all from a storytelling standpoint. And because of that, all those other things that I was narrowly avoiding nitpicking earlier all just came flooding back into it. Like I said, there are things about this I really enjoyed, but overall, I don't know, two skulls? Two skulls for Late Night with the Devil. It does hurt. I was expecting this to be one that I really, really enjoyed, you know, and it's... these things happen, you know. It's we'll talk all about how it's definitely not the movie's fault and the movie didn't do anything wrong, so to speak, but it just made some choices right there at the end that did not work for me.
That is unfortunate. However, what's less unfortunate, more fortunate, whatever that is that I fucking love this. I am always very wary of falling into the hype train. I knew how much people were talking about how great this was, and I knew it was either probably going to be something I loved or hated and did not fall in between, because that is all I've seen from people. Nobody's like, it's fine. Except for my husband, because he's just like that. He's like, yeah, it wasn't bad. I was like, oh my God, you. This hit so many points of things that I love in horror. We'll get into it specifically when we get to the spoiler section, but I was riveted. I love the form of storytelling that they took, where it was a mixture of different ways of communicating the story. We'll just keep it brief. And it was well acted. I just love David Dastmalchian. It's great. This would be a 5 skull for me.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I love this.
I knew Michelle was positive on it. I did not, I'll be honest, I did not expect going the full 5 skulls. I thought maybe like a 4.5, a 4.25.
Nope. That's why I went, get home, grab your microphone.
Michelle with a 5, JD with a 2, which officially makes this a 3.5 skull movie. That's all we need to say about it. That's pretty accurate. Let's get the hell out of here and go to bed. No.
I am so tired. Yeah.
Guys, we literally, it's 12:15 a.m. in Fargo, Moorhead right now. We literally just got done with the film. It credits rolled at about 11:30, about 45 minutes ago. We walked out of the theater and started chatting, and we're like, we got to go home immediately. So this is all fresh. I may discover some things while we're talking through this. You guys have seen that happen before. Maybe I'll shed some light on some things for Michelle, or maybe not. Who knows? She's not usually the kind of person who lets herself have her opinion changed by little old me. But let's do it, Michelle. Let's fucking get into it. Because I do want to be clear about, there are parts of this that I really fucking love. And that's why I was with it for as long as I was.
Okay. I'm going to do a quick summary for those of you who have not seen it. But I'm telling you, go check it out. Have an opinion. It was so cool to see this in a movie theater and hear the dun-dun from Shudder at the beginning of the movie.
The Shudder thumps in the big Dolby like THX 5.1 or whatever surround sound, whatever the technology is these days. Yeah, it was pretty dope.
Yeah, it was great. So go check it out. Watch it when it drops on Shudder on April 19th. If you waited until it was on Shudder and now you're coming back to this episode, hello, thank you so much for traveling back in time with us. I am going to do a quick summary of what this movie is. So this is Late Night with the Devil. It is a late night talk show host with Jack Delroy, a.k.a. David Dastmalchian. And I have been practicing saying his last name for a while because he just keeps popping up. And I feel like he's just such a cool person, not even just a good actor. He just seems like so nice and genuine. Anyway, enough about him. So he's a late night talk show host, and his wife just recently died of cancer. And he is trying to become the most popular talk show host. And so what he's doing is, it's Halloween. They're going to do an occult show. So he's got a guy who is a psychic who can talk to the dead. He's got that guy who's based on the real guy and was so accurate, but I forgot the real guy's name, and he debunks all of the psychic people on late night shows. JD,
the amazing Randy.
Thank you. Yeah, so this guy is epitome of the amazing Randy. I've watched so much of his stuff. And then they have this woman who has a doctorate in
parapsychology.
Parapsychology. Thank you. Hybrid, but I don't remember how it works. Parapsychology. And then she has a little girl named Lily. Lily escaped a demonic cult and now has a demon living inside of her. I forgot that name. It's Abra something, because it's Abracadabra. So
that would be Abraxas.
Jesus Christ. I need cliff notes, but when we watch this on Shudder, I will have my cliff notes. I will have so much stuff written down. Okay, so Abraxas lives inside of her and all these shenanigans are happening. The psychic guy who can deduce dead people because he's actually like reading answers that people wrote down on a questionnaire before they got into the talk show. He's like, ah, I talk to dead people, but then he doesn't actually talk to dead people, but then he does talk to dead people, and his eyes roll into the back of his fucking head. He spews black shit everywhere, and he dies, and that's great. Sorry, not trying to be biased in my recap. Then next is the amazing Randy, aka Carmichael Haig, and he's like, no, that was not great. That was all illusions and trickery, and I'm an asshole. And then they're like, also, here's this woman. She's a doctor, but it's 1977. Is that even possible? Can women get doctorates? Yes, they can. And she has one, God damn it. So she's there with this girl who she's like, I've been training the devil to come out on command, and he's all like, blah, and I can do that. And they're like, can you do that in the studio? And she's like, that seems irresponsible. And they're like, but pretty please? And she's like, yes. So she doesn't want to do it, but then she does it. And Lily brings forth Abraxas, and he's pretty pissed off about a lot of stuff, but then he goes away. And then she comes out later, and then Abraxas is there, and he split her head in half. And now Jack Delroy, he's having a real bad time. He is watching his own show, and he is stuck in this universe, and everything's getting wacky, and we're seeing what his life was like before this. And it turns out, oh, we haven't even gotten into the Bohemian Grove aspect of this, but he had decided to make a deal, and he would get fame in exchange for a sacrifice. And who did he sacrifice? His fucking wife. And now he's famous, and the reason he's famous is because they cut back to the studio, and he murdered fucking everyone, or at the very least, he's about to be held for killing fucking everyone. The end. Late Night with the Devil.
Hey everybody, this is JD. We had a little bit of a production snafu and we lost about 2, 2.5 minutes of the podcast here. Nothing real important, just me and Michelle telling a hilarious story about how we all laughed real, real hard about how there's like 12 production company logos at the beginning of this movie. They just keep coming like endings of the Lord of the Rings. That was all. That was all you missed. And from there, I asked Michelle to tell us what she loved about the movie, and that's where we are.
But we start the movie by finding out that this is your typical kind of found footage thing. It's essentially found footage, but here's what it is. It's a narrator guy explaining all of Jack Delroy's history and then saying, well, this is the show that didn't air, and then it's you're watching the show. However, what's cool is when they cut to commercial breaks, they go to black and white, and then you get to just watch it as an actual movie. So you see the things happening behind the scenes. It's no longer these studio cameras cutting to different action. So you're still getting that insight, and it stops being found footagey, but then it goes back to being a TV show. And I don't know if I've ever really seen that technique done. If it's done in the style of like a show, then it's like, oh, cut, and the same camera keeps rolling and happens to hear conversation. I really liked that method interjected with found footage. I do see JD holding his microphone and waiting patiently. No? Okay, sounds good. So I love that. I don't even know where to go to from there. Everything feels ominous. Every single thing happening feels beyond ominous. Some of it does turn out to be bad. Some of it does not. They did such a great job of making every single thing feel dangerous. The theremin, for example, I'm like, oh shit, that's gonna come back, and it does. But then the guy wearing, I don't know if it's a mummy costume in the front row, who's just got like a white hat with eye holes. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that guy is, but I do not trust him. But then there is a skeleton guy in the audience who you shouldn't trust because he's there at Bohemian Grove. So every single thing, I'm like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. And sometimes I don't know what they did, but they did an excellent job of being like, I am afraid of every single thing happening on the screen. They didn't spoon feed anything. Thank fucking God. It is definitely very heavily implied that Jack and Dr. Lady Face, June. Nope, that was, yeah, Dr. June. Dr. June Ross Mitchell, that they are sleeping together, and that's very, very heavily implied. It's not trying to be subtle, but it doesn't go out of its way to show you them kissing backstage or anything. They are canoodling. And
That's
oh, JD, are you on mute? Are you trying to be on mute?
no. Oh, no,
I
I'm
can't hear
sorry.
you.
You're on. Yeah, give me just a minute. So I got two
Okay.
different things going there. The mute's off. There's a
Okay.
funny story about that I'll tell you in just a little while. But I was gonna say I didn't get that. Like I def there's definitely those couple of times where the little girl is talking about how the doctor is like super into or attracted to Jack, but I never got the clear impression that they were actually hooking up. That never I never got that at
When
all.
they are having their first discussion backstage, he is sitting there talking very closely to her, and then he puts his head on her forehead in like a very like romantic way while he's like telling her like, we got this together. I
Oh.
totally got like that is an affair.
I
Was this
don't know
happening?
how
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that.
But see,
But I
that's
don't
actually really
remember that
great
small detail,
because
sure.
it doesn't spoon feed that to you. It is an
Sure.
overlying or an underlying theme that keeps coming up, but they're not like, oh man, they just have to be like having sex in the back or the audience isn't gonna get it. There's so much stuff that's implied that I just love. It kept unraveling, but in little itty bitty ways, like the Bohemian Grove, I can't say hints. It's clearly explicitly stated, but the way that they
Excuse me,
unfold more and more of that.
Michelle, just the Grove. Thank you.
I'm sorry, the Grove.
Just
Yeah, I
the
have not
Grove.
gotten into on this podcast how much I used to be obsessed with Illuminati and Bohemian Grove and all of that. So I think this movie just hit a perfect tone for me. I love found footage. Or like documentary style that isn't a real documentary. I love anything conspiracy theorist. I love actors who seem like genuinely nice people and do great performances. Everything about this just hit the perfect note for me. It was great.
So you mentioned something at the end there that I want to touch on about this being a found footage film. And I understand why people say that, but this is one of the things that I started to be a little cranky about but was able to push aside because there were a lot of things about the movie that I was enjoying. And that is this movie more or less betrays its gimmick from the get-go, right? They tell you like a big part of the promotion for this is like they make it seem like what you're about to see is a recording of the show. Like that's what I was expecting. And then they immediately are like, oh, you're gonna see live footage of the show, plus also archival behind the scenes footage from like during the commercial breaks and stuff. Okay, I can buy that. What I can't buy is like you have multiple studio cameramen with big pedestal studio TV cameras wheeling those things all over the studio and backstage to get like who's making this archival footage, right? Like there's like it's like seven or eight cameras and there's like all these arch angles. It's very produced movie is the
Yeah,
point I'm
I
saying.
disagree
There's
that it was,
no reason
it's not supposed to be archival.
there's no my point is there's no reason at all for that footage to exist. But I'm just supposed to accept that for some reason that footage exists. And the
It's
way
not
they
footage.
and No, yes, it is. It says at the
No.
beginning of it says in the introduction of the movie that what you are about to see is the live master tape as well as behind the scenes archival footage during the production of the episode. It says that specifically in the narration at the beginning of the film. I promise you this.
Damn
so all that
it.
Black and white, all
like
that black and white stuff is supposed to be like people who were actually there. Like, and it's like they got close-ups and it's editing back and forth like a normal movie. And I was just like, okay, that's not. But again, I was okay because I was into it. I was enjoying the story. I thought the way they were developing the whole angle with the girl and the demonic presence. I thought, you know, building up from the John Edwards fucking fake ass manipulative con artist bullshit, fucking cold reading fucking charlatan. I kind of have a certain feeling about those kind of people. There's not one, but John Edwards is going to be in Fargo soon, and then there's another person who does that same sort of thing who's going to be here right around the same time, and I'm just fucking, anyway. And then there's other things, like...
Wait, before you continue, can I say one quick
yes,
thing
please.
About the archival? I am disappointed finding out that that was supposed to be archival footage. I took it as, I mean, at the beginning, we have this whole narration from an unseen source.
Yeah.
It doesn't just start with a title card like a lot of other things would do and be like, this is the footage we found and we spliced it together. So it's already starting like, this is a movie, but we are going to show you exactly what happened. And then when it cuts, because it has those back and forth moments, and the different camera angles, I went, oh, this is also in black and white. So it's completely shot differently. And I was like, it's kind of giving like the appearance of being behind the scenes, but it's not actually behind the scenes. It's
so
just an artistic choice. And I like that.
You thought this was like a mixed film where yes. It was found footage while we were actually watching the TV program, but all the black and white behind the scenes stuff was not intended to be found footage. That was a movie.
Exactly. And that's why
okay.
The ending,
yeah.
I know what points you started falling off, and I if it involves that, I totally went, oh, well, this is back to being a movie now. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So where the movie, and again, there were things, that whole bit, where just to lead into it, another one of those elements is like, oh, but even within the TV show, then, like they undermine their own gimmick right there, because as soon as they get done with the hypnosis bit, where we all see the same thing that everybody else who's been hypnotized sees, we see it. And then they run back the tape live on the during the program, and they play it, and none of what we thought we saw was actually happening. You know, it was all an illusion. So why did we see it then?
We were hypnotized.
So you're telling me we were hypnotized by the same hypnotic process on the master tape? And
yes.
The idea is that what we as an audience member just saw never actually happened. Like, I'm
yes.
supposed to believe that this movie just hypnotized me.
Exactly.
You may have just made me want to knock this down to a 1.5. That's ridiculous. No.
I love it.
But you see the point I'm making, right? Like, why would... And I that's actually a solid argument. But again, if it's supposed to be a found footage kind of thing, I don't... but there is a part of this, like, the stuff they did with the girl. That girl is creepy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
The way she just seems to, and like, obviously it's rehearsed, and so she knows where she needs to be looking, but she is able to make it seem like she's just like, she just thought to turn and look into the camera.
Oh,
like, it's so, and there are
I
moments.
I stared at her and I didn't want to. I was fixated.
One of the practical effects in this are great, when the dude's like ripping his guts open and they're just full
there's gonna
of
be
worms.
So many squelches. There
and
better be
like
squelching
the
subtitles.
Fucking giant worm coming out of his face,
so
and
good.
Not to mention like when that dude's fucking face explodes
mm-hmm.
at the end, and the lady gets her fucking throat sawn in half like Hereditary style. fucking like it's well made, and those bits I like are great and fucking what, holy shit. The one that got me the most is after they do that whole thing where they roll back the footage of the hypnosis, the girl says, well, why don't we roll back the footage of my thing? And they roll back the footage of it, and ultimately this leads to them seeing his dead wife's ghost behind him in the footage for just a flash. And the reason I want to talk about that and why it's my favorite moment in this entire movie is it's brilliantly made. If you watch it back right before the, because I'd be willing to bet if you go back and watch this movie again, the ghost of his wife was there every time. But just before the ghost of his wife appears in that frame behind him in the upper right of the screen, there is a small flash near the head and face of Lily in the foreground of the screen. And I caught that flash. It's smoke and mirrors, and it's magician deception, right? Like, and so when they went back to review that footage and they're going through it frame by frame, and I'm looking over by her head waiting for this face or whatever to appear, and when they suddenly say there it is, and I'm like, they're fucking, holy shit, it's right. I didn't see the ghost behind him until that moment. That was fucking fantastic. Like, if this movie was just that, like a short film connecting those two sequences, holy shit, that was so well done.
I'm really looking forward to watching that on Shudder and being able to pause and see. I totally thought there was a face. I thought the wife's face was on Lily's face. Yep. I thought that's what I saw, and then it wasn't, but I want to go back and I want to watch it and be like, oh, you bastards, you did do that too. But he didn't pause at that moment. He missed that. We saw it. Dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there. Like I said, there are bits of this that are really well done. But again, when you get to the end and you've got that whole hallucination sequence, I'm like, what, I'm supposed to believe the fucking broadcast master tapes of this TV show caught his hallucination sequence and then just snapped back to reality and we see him killing that girl or she's already dead? But what happened, and again, like I said, these were things that I was trying to put aside because I was enjoying, they did a lot of great tension building here. There was a lot of really cool stuff. The makeup effects with the girl where she gets all, like, her face is all beat up when the demon is possessing her. That's really cool. It's one, and I feel like this is such a, there are some people who would be able to overlook this, but sometimes there's a thing that happens and it's just so wrong for you in that moment that it destroys your entire experience of the movie. Deadstream for Michelle. A movie called A Dark Song that has that moment literally like 2 minutes before the end of the film for me. And that moment for me in this movie is when the lights go out in the studio and when the lights come back up and Lily is floating in the air. And then her head splits in half and turns into a ball of lightning fire. And she proceeds like some sort of comic book supervillain or Emperor Palpatine or fucking Gozer the Gozerian from Ghostbusters to like lightning bolt, fucking lightning splash people all over the studio and shit. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, some weird, like, I almost laughed at the lightning. It was so, I don't know, it was just wrong for me. It felt, I think what happened is my immediate touchstone for it was Gozer the Gozerian from the end of Ghostbusters, and it just, I don't know. It just felt so wrong for what was happening in that moment. And then they just, like, pour all that stuff together where it's like, oh, so somehow the cult that Lily was caught up in was also connected with the Grove somehow. And ultimately he made a deal with the Grove, aka a deal with the devil, to get his TV show popular. But he ended up, like, not only did his wife get cancer and that was the sacrifice he made, like, then also, like, he literally murders her. Did he actually murder her, or is that just something they made him see to get him to kill the girl? I don't know, man. Just for some reason, from the point that her head splits open all, like, lightning strikey, and she starts palpitating people all over the place, I just, it was a hard break for me.
All right, so when she's got lightning coming out of both hands, at first I'm like, meh, don't love this. And then I'm like, oh, but she's still the little girl, not the demon. And she does not seem to like this. And that's pretty horrifying. She's the little girl at that point. She's
but
yelling.
But it looked so comic book silly.
But then when her head splits, I love that. I love that so much. The way she's got one eye on either side of this beam coming out of her head.
Yeah, but it's all, like, bright and shiny with the lightning effect. I think that would have been way cooler if there was no bright, shiny lightning at all, and you just got to see all the fucking gore and entrails and disgusting when her head splits in half. I have seen some head splittings in some movies before. As head splittings go, this one felt very Ghostbusters. And that's not what I was looking for from this movie.
He wanted fanfare. Abraxas is all about fanfare. He said he's all about showcasing and getting attention. And you know what? We've all seen a head split open. We've all, you know, split open a head ourselves. We've all seen a little girl just get cut
in half.
I've seen
a split dog.
Oh, yeah, you have. Goddamn, the Return of the Living Dead?
Yes,
is that
yeah.
What the name of that one is? Goddamn it. Yeah, that part's so sad. But, like, we've all seen that before. I haven't seen this where there's, like, an eye on either side of this weird lightning creature's face.
Right, but my point is, it was, Michelle, it was barely a creature. It was like a weird glowing lightning ball that had a vague outline of a head split in half. It took me out of everything so completely. Just the design and the choice of what they went with there. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong because it's why creature features don't work.
Well, it is what it is, right? You know, they made a choice, and good for them. You know, they, and again, clearly I'm in the minority here saying that it was enough to knock me out of it because everybody fucking loves this movie but me. But there's just something about that moment that was just so off-putting to me that then all these other things that I had been trying to put aside just all came rolling back in for me. And it's, I think a nice way to describe it is a similar thing. I don't remember what the movie was, but maybe it was Pieces. But a big part of your reaction to it was because you were expecting a much different movie. And I think that there was a lot of that for me here. I was expecting something more. I just got all tongue tied. So yeah, I don't know. Sometimes
that
happens.
When we watch it again for the April 19th, when it drops on Shudder, go into it with the perspective of this is mixed media, because I truly think them saying this behind the scenes archival footage fucks everything up, because also the ending doesn't make sense. It has to be mixed media. The camera did not capture that ending. That just didn't happen.
Right.
There's no way.
Which is why I remember it very, 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 very specifically and very clearly that they say that it's a combination of the master tape of the broadcast as well as behind the scenes footage.
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, even that very ending shot where we're pulling back and everyone is dead. Who's doing that?
Right.
It's got to be that we're watching it in movie style.
I'm supposed to believe that some late night TV talk show in the 1970s had five or six cameramen running backstage cameras keeping footage on this show? Okay, and if I'm not supposed to believe that, what? I'm supposed to believe that it was the cameramen who were already there working on the show who was running the tape then? You know, it's and this is the kind of nitpicking that ultimately pulls the experience down when you have that moment that just you either go with it or you don't, and I didn't.
Yeah, I was on board because I did not know they were trying to say that was behind the scenes. That's wrong. And I mean, it might be that they're trying to say those black and white parts happening throughout the show are behind the scenes, and then they abandon it and go into a cinematic movie, and none of that is found footage or shot in the studio, and that does transcend and go into this other thing, because there's no fucking way that they try to say that is behind the scenes. I think whether they fuck it up with the show bits, I think at that point does have to change. It's a new form of storytelling.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it just kind of all depends on what happened. Like, I'm curious to see what your opinion will happen to your opinion of the film after you watch it again and see how they make that very specific point. Like, they go out of their way to make that point, but then it's like, it's so unbelievable as that kind of footage. Mm-hmm. You know, because I've seen that before where a movie switches from one style to another. I'm fine with that if that's what
I have.
I know
a really good
happening.
One in mind. Yep.
The winner of was out of time, but now he is one of the greatest
transitions in a movie
I have ever seen in my life. Oh God, yeah, I'll fucking blank that out. Remind me that I need to go back and put a bleep over that at about 41
and
a
add
half minutes.
Audio. Audio into the part.
Oh no, I may leave that, depending on how it sounds. Oh, no. I may leave that completely as it is and let just people God. Be like, JD was so mad he fucked up the production of the episode. Look, I want to point out to you that there were six of us in our group tonight, and I paid for five of those tickets. So, you know.
We were going to pay you back, and then you said no. But then you said that we did have to pay you back because you were so mad about the movie.
My favorite response was, well, I'm glad you guys all enjoyed it. I was genuinely expecting there would be at least one person on my side. I guess Steph wasn't as blown away with it as you were, and the other folks seemed to be, but she was still way more positive on it than I was. You know, what do I know? I'm just a cranky old fuck, you know.
Me too. Speaking of, it's 1 a.m. We should get to closing thoughts.
Yeah, closing thoughts. Regardless of my cranky old ass, go see this movie if you can. See it in a theater. Buy a ticket. Get people talking about horror movies in the theaters. I mean, think of what's going on. Like, Immaculate is out there. This movie is out there. I know it's not really being sold as a horror movie in itself. But Rose Glass made Saint Maud, which was absolutely a horror movie that got a lot of notice. And her new movie, Love Lies Bleeding, which definitely has some weirdness.
That's on
from what little bit I've seen.
Yep.
It's definitely maybe horror adjacent, as we say. Neon has a ton of stuff coming up. They got Long Legs. And what's that other one they got in that trifecta package where you get all three movie tickets for
$20? Oh, God damn it.
I can't remember off the top of my head either. Anyway, guys, more horror in theaters means more horror in theaters. Go see it. Every movie theater in the world's got like a discount movie night. That's why we went tonight. You go on a Tuesday night. It's a $6 ticket. Do it that way if you can see it. Support horror in the theaters is really the whole point of this rambling morass. Those are my
also,
closing thoughts.
Also, ignore the fact that the filmmakers directly told us that it was behind-the-scenes footage. They are wrong about their own movie. They are wrong about their film. My vision is better.
Oh,
Yeah, I will write them a letter to let them know.
I gotta be honest, if they had just left that bit out of the introduction, yep. this might have been a completely different experience for me. I think
I will be ignoring that.
The lightning head girl still would have been a bridge too far for me, but it is what it is.
Like I said, creature features don't work for me because I always hate the reveal. And so I am completely like not surprised by you hating that. I am surprised I did not hate that. I wound up loving it and thinking it was hardcore.
Here's the interesting part about this is if they had taken all that budget they dumped into the lightning effects, put all of that into a gooey head split. So it's like a legit gooey head split. And then she just fucking exorcist hurls people around through the power of just being a fucking demon. They talk about telekinesis earlier in the movie, you know? Just have her fucking stick her hand out and huck that guy across the room because she can do that. Why did it have to be lightning?
All little girls can do that. That wasn't even a supernatural thing.
It could have been a beautiful head split effect.
I thought what you were going to say was going to be way snarkier and say that if they had saved all that money from the lightning effects, then they wouldn't have had to use AI to generate those title cards.
Oh, no. So here's what it was, by the way. I guess you brought it up. So apparently it's some of like those newspaper clippings from the introduction, that prologue that scream by really quickly. You know, every one of them's on the screen for maybe 6 frames. It's some of that stuff. Again, doesn't change the fact that it's still AI that is almost 100%. Look, these people didn't buy some sort of AI program and then find a way to make sure that all of the data that was all the billions and billions and billions of megabytes of data that was feeding their AI was all properly paid for and developed. And so that's a thing that we need to talk about and need to get figured out because it's especially some bullshit when the people who have spent the last 25 years just shitting on all of us for downloading movies and file sharing music and all of this stuff are now turning around and basically threatening to create entire films through theft of intellectual property from literally millions and millions and millions of artists. So, God damn it. But it's small enough that I'm willing to say, still go see the movie. There's my second anti-AI rant.
Now that I know about it, though, every time I saw the skeleton title card, I could not stop looking at those hands. Those hands are so fucked up. You couldn't at least go edit that and clean it up. You couldn't like grab some fucking clip art in Microsoft Word and copy and paste. I could do that. I have a Canva subscription. I could make that happen in 2 minutes.
Here's what I want to know, Michelle. Who fucking even noticed that? Like, it goes by so fast, I would have never even noticed.
If you're a graphic designer and you're like, oh, that's a neat design, what the fuck is up with those hands? They could process it really quickly. Now that I see it, I will never unsee it.
I didn't even know specifically what I was looking for, so I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. Nope, the hands are all fucked up. It's like snarly fingers, and it's like, you can put some mittens on him. He's a skeleton. He's a little bit cold because he doesn't have any fat to keep him warm. He's got to wear some mittens.
Look,
just copy and paste a mitten over that.
Not for nothing, but the way, like, the overall visual design of a lot of those things that were flashing by, like, you could have just done that with some fucking cut and paste, like, fucking
exactly.
Old school photo editing. You could have just done that with, like, a picture of a skeleton.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Anyway,
you could go out and make your own skeleton. Just
Michelle,
talk to somebody, be like, hey, can I take your bones for this?
Are we
going to
get
this?
Are we going to get this done in the next 2+ minutes so it's not 1 a.m.?
I hope so, because I'm very sleepy.
Yeah, I'm very sleepy. I don't have anything else to say. It's nothing that was the movie's fault. There's just some things that took me out of it and didn't work. I'm clearly the only
one.
The movie
was perfect.
I'm clearly a fucking idiot, so just go see it and don't listen to me.
Wait, I think I told you my complaint in theater, but I don't think I mentioned it on the show. And my complaint is that his sideburns are fake. Did I mention that on the show? I don't think I did. When it switches to high definition, Jack's sideburns are clearly not his real hair. It doesn't match. And that's really upsetting. So one skull.
Wow.
Yeah. It's definitely different hair that you don't notice until HD.
This movie managed to ruin Michelle's entire experience of it through using fake sideburns, so I changed my mind. Five skulls.
Nice. Same score as before. And with
No,
that, what do we have to
cause
say, JD?
I don't know. Fucking go watch the say goodnight, Michelle.
Say goodnight, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous patent-pending Ghoul Blog and Squelch Files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media at WeWatchShudder on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I guess Twitter if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us. Mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address. Mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really, 701-566-9510. Give it a shot, see what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.